Now, think back a minute to the great BlackBerry blackout of 07. We all had to come to terms with our paralyzing dependence on those addictive instruments of communication. Some rejoiced, some wept. One Rutgers professor went so far as to declare that a BlackBerry addiction was, quote, similar to drugs, lending a bit of academic reasoning to the nickname CrackBerry. When the servers whirred back online, we all put our heads down, looked at our BlackBerries, and gave thanks. Now imagine that you are President-elect Barack Obama, and that blackout is about to be extended to 4 years. He has been told he should give up his faithful BlackBerry. Now, email can't be secured enough for the president is the argument, and the Presidential Records Act make all his communications part of the official record and up for public scrutiny at some point. If you think that Mr. Obama should be able to keep his trusty handheld, tell us why. Or if you think he just needs to let it go, we want to hear from you, too. Our number here in Washington is 1-800-989-8255. You can always email us, you know, from your BlackBerry, at talk@npr.org. One reporter that believes Obama should not be forced to unplug is Jonathan Alter. He's a senior editor and columnist for Newsweek magazine, joining us from our New York bureau. And he's also my friend, full disclosure. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, Allison.
So why can't he just be on good old-fashioned email? Why does he have to have the BlackBerry?
Well, because, first of all, you know, presidents do travel a lot, and I guess, you know, good old-fashioned email is better than nothing. They took that away from George W. Bush when he became president, and we saw how that ended up. You know, he was cut off from all of his old friends, some of whom may have warned him away in ways that could have kept him out of some trouble, kept him from driving the country over a cliff. You know, a lot of times the biggest problem that a president has is isolation. And a lot of former aides and political scientists have written about this over the years, that it's extremely important to have your old friends and people you've known for a long time have some access to you beyond a Christmas card or, you know, seeing you a couple times a year at a White House reception. And email allows that, and certainly, you know, a BlackBerry, I think, could be secured. I think if they're talking about taking away his BlackBerry, they might be talking about taking away his email as well.
Tell me a little bit more about this presidential bubble that presidents find themselves in.
Well, it's just very disorienting because not only do you not have to obey any traffic rules and is it hard to go outside, which is a kind of a strange concept when, you know, you can no longer walk down the street without being mobbed. But you're surrounded by people who, even if they tell you they're not yes men and women, are to a certain extent. They're gonna feed you what they think you want to hear. And so Obama actually was very cognizant of this at the start and very concerned when he first decided to run for president that he not get too isolated in the bubble. And that's one reason why he's maintained a very active BlackBerry, you know, email relationship with a fairly significant number of people who've known him for many years. He doesn't usually say much from his end beyond, you know, go White Sox or thanks. And that's one reason why, to my mind, there is no security concern, because the worst that could happen if it wasn't secured, if his BlackBerry was hacked into, is that some foreign government, some spies would find out what some of his old friends from Chicago were advising him to do. They wouldn't find out anything classified or anything that he was saying, because he's long since given up, you know, been smart enough not to put anything that could be compromising in any emails of any kind. That's a lesson that anybody who works in an office should have learned a long time ago. So to me, the security implications of this are zero. It's just a totally bogus security issue. But it's symbolic of what happens when you go into the bubble. It's a bunch of people come to you and say, look, Mr. President, your life is not the same. You've got to do it this way, that way. This is the way it's going to be from now on for, quote, security reasons. And it's up to the president, and President Bush wasn't strong enough to do this, to say, hell no. You know, I'm going to continue to do it this way. And if there are security reasons, you better convince me why they are genuine security reasons. I'm not just going to take it on your say-so.
We're talking about Barack Obama. You may have seen an article in the New York Times over the weekend saying that he might have to give up his BlackBerry. Jonathan Alter from Newsweek has written an article saying, no, you know what? Let him keep his BlackBerry. Why he needs to stay plugged in. Let's go to Mark in Rochester. Hi, Mark.
Yes, right here.
First of all, do you have a BlackBerry?
Yes, I do.
Do you love your BlackBerry?
Absolutely. 7100 model. Love it.
What happened? What would you do if someone took it away from you?
Get another one.
So what do you think should happen for the president-elect and his BlackBerry?
The technology that the NSA and the CIA have, as well as the carriers have, there's encryption software that can completely disguise any transmissions. I've done it with Homeland Security. I've done it for the medical and EMS divisions. I own a communications company here in Rochester, New York, and I've also done it for the New York State Troopers that took down the Lackawanna 7 out of Buffalo for the terrorists. You may remember that.
Wow, yeah.
I believe it. Yes.
All right, Mark in Rochester, thank you so much. Let's go to Nate in Kansas City. Hey, Nate.
Hello.
Thank you, Nate in Kansas, sorry.
I'm not sure I understand why he would have to give up his personal communication just because he's president.
Ah, well, I'll let Jonathan answer that.
Well, you're absolutely right. There is no reason beyond, you know, some bureaucrat or feeling like he needs to be, you know, very self-important and advising him that he can no longer do it. As we heard from Mark in Buffalo, there is technology available, encryption technology, that could make it secure in the same way that a president's telephone calls are perfectly secure and have been for years. So, you know, to me, this is an example of it's really sort of a non-issue, and it's an example of the kinds of things that come up when you do go in the bubble, because it's always easier to say no than to say yes in a strange way when it comes to national security issues of all kinds. It's one of the reasons why the whole eavesdropping thing got out of hand, because if there was a question of do we eavesdrop or not, the safe answer would always be eavesdrop. When it comes to a question of can we secure the president's communication or not, the safe answer is, well, have him not use a BlackBerry. It's up to the president, and he hasn't made a decision on this, by the way. It's not like he's agreed to have his BlackBerry taken away. It's up in the air right now. But it's up to him to say, no, I'm going to keep my BlackBerry, and that should then set a tone for some other things. Now, when it comes to his physical safety, there he needs to defer to the Secret Service. But when it comes to sort of these bogus national security claims, he needs to be, you know, rather contrary in raising objections. You know, there's been a lot of talk about Abraham Lincoln and Franklin Roosevelt. And one of the things that made both of them successful is Lincoln believed in what he called a public opinion bath. He would fling open the doors of the White House and have all kinds of people in to tell him what they thought of what he was doing. Now, you can't do that anymore to the same extent, but the spirit of that was right. And Franklin Roosevelt was the same way. He would drive around in his hand-controlled car around rural Georgia talking to farmers and other people and finding out what was on their minds, and you know, always had time for old friends who wanted to come in for you know, brief chats in the White House.
So it was a reality check.
Yeah, you've got to have that if you're president. And a BlackBerry is just another tool for helping you break down the isolation that is the most crippling part of being president.
Let's go to Kurt in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Hi, Kurt.
Hi. You know, functionality aside, just from working like a cell phone, isn't really the purpose of that large presidential entourage-like staff that we're paying for, isn't that kind of their purpose, to do what the BlackBerry does, to coordinate all that information and manage, you know, his scheduling or his appointments?
Well, that's what they think, you know. But the problem is, and yes, it's very important to have people like, you know, chief of staff who control the paper flow so that you're not just besieged with memos, control his appointment schedule so that he's not overscheduled, control the telephone calls. But the thing about email is that it's a wonderful invention because, you know, and this is why, you know, Bill Gates has an email that's open to, you know, lots and lots of people, is that you can ignore it when you want to, and you can kind of control your own flow, you know, by not opening the email. And you have an opportunity to kind of manage your own relationships with other people in a much, much more efficient way. And who would want somebody else to do that? It's like every so often you run into older executives who say, well, I've got my, you know, my assistant is handling my email. Well, that's generally not going to be, that's not a confidence-inspiring executive. You want somebody who's got their own email and got their own, you know, access to lots of different forms of information so they can break down the chain of command. If you just let the chain of command dominate, you will get in trouble. You've got to circumvent the chain of command in all sorts of ways to find out what's going on in your own organization, whether you're running the PTA or the United States of America.
So he should live up to his code name, Renegade, is what you're saying.
Yes,
that's
great
his Secret
point.
Service
yeah.
name. It's interesting. Yeah. Gail sent us a message from her iPhone. He should be able to keep it, but he should use an iPhone instead because he's all about change.
Yeah.
That's funny, but brings up an interesting point that even this issue is going to be an issue for whomever is president from now on. He is, you know, it's 2.0 presidency. There are going to be laptops and Blackberries and cell phones. So this, in a way, is an issue that it's not going to go away.
No, and he's already decided, apparently, according to the New York Times, that he will have a desktop computer in the Oval Office for the first time in history. And so he's already made it clear that he's going to have, some access via computer to the outside world. We don't know whether that will just be internet access or whether he'll have email that he uses from the Oval Office. But he's not going to be shut down entirely. I think it would be a really bad sign if a president was. It was actually something that was raised as a campaign issue about John McCain. I thought it was a totally legitimate issue that he was not online. In the 21st
right.
century, your president has to be online.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We're speaking with Jonathan Alter from Newsweek magazine about whether or not President-elect Barack Obama should have to surrender his BlackBerry, which has been suggested to him for security reasons, but also for reasons about the Presidential Records Act, the idea that people would have access to these communications after, I believe it's 12 years, right?
But I don't see why email should be treated any differently than snail mail is by Presidential Records Act. There's a process by which the president's correspondence is declassified and released to the public, and they can just apply that process to his emails. It'll be difficult for historians because there'll be thousands of emails to go through, but that's their problem.
Not his. Let's go to Alan in Cleveland. Hi, Alan.
Hi. It seems that we've got to be able to trust the President of the United States to be able to control flow of communications both in and out and make responsible decisions in terms of what he sends. And if he's getting email that's not appropriate, then cut it off. But if he can't make these decisions, don't we have other issues?
That's a good point, Alan. Thanks a lot. I want to follow that up with Laurel from Michigan wrote this. She's from Michigan, remember. If Mr. Obama does keep his BlackBerry, I suggest he at least take a lesson on what not to do from former Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick.
That's harsh.
That is harsh. People need to remember that Kwame Kilpatrick was caught having an affair via messages on his BlackBerry, right? That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
We're not suggesting anything about that with the Obamas,
and
of course.
Nothing, that's the thing about Obama. You know, there just haven't even been any rumors in that department.
No, but it's the idea that you become so... Yeah, the idea, though, is you become so comfortable with your BlackBerry that you might type something that you probably, wouldn't say in conversation or it slips out of your mouth.
He's been using it, all throughout the campaign with any number of friends, and there hasn't been any indication of him being... indiscreet. As I said, what he mostly says is "Go White Sox," and thank you for the for the email. So he's a pretty disciplined guy, and I don't think that's something that we're going to have to worry about too much. And also, we need to make it clear he has not made a decision on this yet. I was just urging that when he does make a decision, he decide to keep it. And so, you know, and I think it is really important for him to have all kinds of different views to pierce that bubble we've been talking about, pierce that isolation. Some of it is from his aides, from experts, yes, even from polling to show some of what the American people are thinking, from books, from all kinds of places. You want him to have a, you know, an open mind as he moves forward.
It's been suggested by one of our listeners it's now be called a Barack Berry. We're going to Jason in Phoenix. Jason, you say there's a bigger issue here. It should be about symbolism.
Well, yeah, it's symbolism because Obama, he's kind of a someone that my generation, a younger generation, latches onto. He embraces technology. He's forward thinking. And I got to throw this out there. It's a little short little story, but I'll get it out as quick as I can.
About 20 seconds.
On 9/11, I was awake, and I watched the second plane hit the towers live. Mm. Immediately, I started paging, texting, and emailing people. I had emailed at least six people and talked to them on the phone. By the time the president was made aware of it, I saw that on TV. Now, this is the reason I didn't vote for McCain, is because McCain said he doesn't even know how to use a computer.
Right.
So when I say he should keep it, and he should be allowed to keep it and use it, because it shows that we need to embrace technology and be forward-thinking in the way we do things.
Jason from Arizona, thank you for sharing that story. Jonathan Alter is a senior editor and columnist for Newsweek magazine and the author of the book President-elect Obama's Nightstand, The Defining Moment, FDR's 100 Days and the Triumph of Hope. You joined us from our New York bureau. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Allison.
You can find his op-ed, Keep the Blackberry, on our website, npr.org/talk. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Allison Stewart in Washington.